Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Have you had a good week? You having a good morning? This is Pentecost Sunday. So how many of you want a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning? Two of you. Well, the Holy Spirit's coming your way this morning. It's great to hear some stories and testimonies, isn't it, of what God is doing. And we're just kind of trying to catalogue everything that God's doing, and, you know, from healings to salvations, provision, and just to try and have some idea of what's going on. And we've seen, I don't know the exact number, because we can't, with all the cards, and we've been trying to sort it out the last few days, but there's been, in terms of healings here, and when people have gone out on ministry trips and things that have been taking place, it's in the hundreds of people getting healed. And it's probably more than that, but things that we know of here, it's in the hundreds just here of the different testimonies or cards that have been filled in or things that we know that people have been healed of. Everything from back pains, from blood pressure and blood issues. People have been healed of dyslexia. This is just here, okay? People have been healed of dyslexia. Other people with sleep issues in different ways. Other people have had emotional issues that have been healed. Others have had depression. Somebody had an enlarged prostate that was healed. Somebody else had issues with gallbladder, and that was healed. Somebody else, an older lady, had pneumonia, and she was completely healed of that. Somebody else had snapped tendons, and they were completely reattached when people prayed for them. People have had issues with their legs, and they've been healed. We've had people with eyesight problems being healed over the last year, hearing things being healed. Others, a number of people who have had eczema and skin disorders, they've been totally healed. What else? There's a few other things. Some people healed of cancer over the last year or so, just completely changed in their bodies there. And there's just other things. You know, God is doing some awesome stuff in people's physical bodies as well as emotionally and also mentally. Just here, over the last year, we've had over 50 people that have made first-time decisions to give their life to Jesus. In terms of rededications, I don't know, but I don't know the number. We didn't know that one, but there's been a whole number. It's up around the same kind of number. People giving their lives back to the Lord, who've just sort of gone away from the Lord. There's been loads of things from provision financially. From I've just got here from things like £10 and £20 gifts that people have found, you know, in envelopes through their doors. Or they've been to their life group and people have given them gifts to help with things, through to some people receiving gifts of hundreds of pounds from family or friends into thousands of pounds in a number of situations. Some of that has been inheritances. Some of that has just been gifts. Within that, debts have been paid off, all kinds of things. And that's just here during the last 12 months in terms of financial provision that people have received, and has just transformed some things. There's been other things in the workplace, in terms of jobs, promotions, salary increases, new contracts for those who are running businesses and those in areas where they're responsible for getting new contracts. Many things like that have been taking place. And obviously for us as a Kingdom Faith, we've had a whole financial turnaround being going on as well in the last 12 months or so. And so there's been loads of things, very practical things, physical things, emotional things, spiritual stuff, mental issues being turned around. Marriages have been restored and being healed. We've seen people, reconciled to each other. Whether people that have been here, they've had family members elsewhere that they haven't seen or had contact for many years, and those relationships have been healed and restored. So it's like God's been working week in, week out, you know, just doing things in our own lives and the people that we're reaching. We're currently reaching about 500 to 600 unsaved people every week, the same unsaved people that we're reaching, and we've kind of wanted to really focus a bit more on those people, whether they're coming through Little Builders, they're coming to Friday nightclub, they're coming to a tea dance, they're coming to Wednesday morning when the hub's open, whether they're coming to other kind of more monthly related things or things that we're doing out in the community every week through life groups, through ministries in different ways. But this is probably a slightly conservative number, but it's about 500 to 600 unsaved people that we are regularly in relationship with and getting into their lives every week. And so we want to really see every one of them come right through. And but each one, some of those are families, some of those are individuals. But one of the things that God has said to us is that we want to see a household on every street in Horsham, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. At least one household in every street in this town getting added to the life of the church, getting added to the kingdom. And from there, that's a little beachhead in every street. And from there, reaching out into the other neighbours and friends and others in the street to see God's kingdom, you know, spread out. I don't know amongst all the churches in town whether between all of us there would be a household on every street. I don't know. But that's at least a kind of a first step that we want to see take place. Whether that's through all the churches in the town, you know, really born again, spirit-filled household, or whether that's just us guys, whatever. Let's make that in the next 12 months a real focus of where you live, where I live, and where we live as a people in this town, in this area. So God is at work and God is moving. But how many of you are satisfied? That's the right answer. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what does Acts 1 verse 8 say? He says, Jesus said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, when we read those verses, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they received power and they were tipped onto the street because they couldn't contain in and of themselves and in that building what God was doing, and God spilled them out on the street. They were speaking in other tongues and people could hear them praising God in their own languages, and they preached the gospel. There was a boldness that came upon them and thousands of people responded that day. They were crying out, what must we do to be saved? And thousands of people got saved on that day and baptized. But then if we read a couple of chapters later, there's a little bit of pressure on the church. A couple of them get put into prison because of the way that they are really publicly going for it with the gospel. God does a miracle. They come out. And then in Acts chapter 4, it says that the believers gathered together and they prayed. And even though thousands were getting saved, even though it talks about many miracles taking place, in chapter 4, what it says there is the believers gathered together and they prayed. And they said, basically, God, you know, we're being persecuted, we're under pressure, but we want more boldness. We want a greater boldness. We want to see you do more than is already happening. God, stretch out your hand to do even more than we're already seeing. And the Holy Spirit came upon them again, and the building shook in that one. And they then went out in a greater boldness. So there was something in them that was not satisfied. No matter what God was doing, there was something in them that said, God, this is brilliant, but we know there's even more. We know you want to do even more through us as a people. And so they prayed and they cried out to God. And they said, God, you know, give us greater boldness. And they weren't saying, God, give us some more of your Holy Spirit to consume. They were saying, God, we want a greater boldness because there's so much more to do and to see happen. God, stretch out your hand to perform miracles and miraculous signs and wonders. God, your arm is not too short, so stretch out your arm. And what the focus of their prayer was not, God, bless me, but God, I want a greater boldness to be more effective. God, stretch out your arm because we can see so many others that need miracles and healing, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, whatever that might be. There was something stirring on the inside, something happening, not just stirring, something was already being released out of their lives. But they were like, God, we're hungry for more. We want to see a greater thing. God, we need greater boldness because in ourselves we're afraid. We don't have it. We're scared. We don't know what to say, how to put it, or what to do. So God, give us a greater boldness so that when the atmosphere around us seems to intimidate, there's something on the inside that can pierce through that or break through that or not come under it, but to be over that so that the spirit in us overtakes the spirit that is around us. And that there was something happening in them at that moment. And Pentecost isn't just about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost there, and being about 50 days after Passover, when the day of Pentecost came, it was because there was a new harvest that God wanted to release. See, Pentecost is about, in the Bible when you read about it, it's about the feast of a harvest. It's about abundance. It's about fruitfulness. And God poured out his Holy Spirit. It's called Pentecost because it happened on the day of Pentecost. Because for God, he was about to release a whole new harvest on the earth. So the day of Pentecost wasn't a day where the believers got together and just said, come on, Holy Spirit, give me another experience. Come on, give me another prophetic word. Come on, give me some goosebumps. Let me feel good this morning or today or tonight or whenever it was. They weren't like, come on, let's have a Holy Spirit shindig and let's just have a Holy Spirit blowout and all consume the Holy Spirit and go away feeling good about ourselves. No, the Holy Spirit was poured out to release a new harvest and for something new to be released on the earth. Because Jesus said, look, I'm going to go to be with the Father, but I'm going to send you the promise. I'm going to send you the gift. So don't go until you've got it. But you're going to need this thing. You're going to need my spirit. You're going to need who he is because you're going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so there's going to be a release for a new harvest in a new season, for a new generation of time. And I believe this morning God wants to baptize us afresh with the Holy Spirit, but with a boldness, not just so that you can have a good feeling. Because you might not feel anything this morning. I don't know. But it's about a baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning that's going to release a greater boldness and a confidence in him to go in his name, to see more happen, to go beyond our own abilities and our own, you know, nature and character. It's like going with the nature and the character of God in a fresh way in these days. Just turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to read quite a bit from this chapter. I'm going to read from the truth. I want to read quite a bit from Romans 8 this morning and just read about the life of the Spirit that is within us already. And the life of the Spirit that's going to be released in us in an even greater way this morning. Is that okay? So if you come to be filled, baptized and whatever, saturated today so that you can then go in a fresh boldness from this morning. Is that okay? Okay, so let's have a look and read what the Bible says here. We're going to pray for all the students this morning. They're all going out on placement tomorrow around this nation and into some other nations. And they're full of everything that God has invested in them and put into them during the last three terms. And they're going to go out and they've already been releasing stuff as part of the church here. And they've been brilliant in the way they've served and got involved and just been part of reaching the town here and Crawley and other areas and going out on ministry trips as well. It's been great to see how they've grown in that. And we want to pray for them as a church and release them into these next 5 weeks of placement. That God's going to drop them in it. God's going to put them in situations where they feel totally out of their depth. Tim Blake, you better be ready, mate. God's going to drop you in it during these 5 weeks. And all of you that are going, he's going to put you in situations where you think, I don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit's then going to give you what to do, what to say. You're going to lay hands on the sick and all kinds of stuff is going to happen in people's lives as you go. So let's just read what it says in here in Romans chapter 8. How wonderful to be liberated now from all the condemnation this continual failure brought. Paul's just talked about the failure of trying to live in our own strength, trying to live according to the law and the whole failure that we have when we're captured in sin. There's no way we can reach God. The sinful nature takes over. And what he's saying is here, how wonderful we've been liberated now from all the condemnation that failure brought. For those who live in Christ Jesus have been set free from all condemnation. Through Christ Jesus, a different principle now lives in me, a new law, the Spirit of life. He has set me free from the law of sin and death, and under the law, I could not do what God wanted because of my weak, sinful nature. God dealt with that by sending his own son to become man, to live among sinners, and then to make his life a sinless offering to God on their behalf. Through his action, God dealt with the condemnation under which all sinners live. In Christ, all the demands God expressed in the laws he gave were fulfilled. So we now live in the good of what he accomplished. He succeeded where we had all failed miserably. So that now we can live as if we had succeeded. That's amazing. That God deals with all our failure and says, instead, I'm going to enable you to come and live in my success and in my who I am. He succeeded where we all failed miserably, so that now we can live as if we had succeeded. His success has become our success, so long as we no longer live in the weakness of our old sinful nature, but now live led by and filled by God's Spirit. What's the best way of walking in the Spirit? To continually be filled with the Spirit. See, what you focus on, you're going to be full of. And as you focus on the Holy Spirit, as you develop relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you cultivate, as God has been speaking to us about habitation and cultivate the presence of God, what's that going to do? That's going to mean you're abiding and feeding and filling yourself with who he is. So then there's less room for other stuff. So it's not fighting the other stuff, it's filling yourself with the good stuff, feeding on what's going to build you up and encourage you. As you feed on him, as you feed on the word, as you feed on the Holy Spirit, then what? As you grow a desire for the things of the Spirit, you grow something to want to live according to the word. Therefore, other things then are starved and they begin to die off in your life. I thought that was good anyway. Verse 5, those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by his Spirit make him their focus. See, what you focus on gets magnified, doesn't it? What you focus on fills your eye line, your vision or whatever. Sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing in God's life and knowing his peace. God, isn't it good when you just know on the inside you are at peace with God? When do you lose your peace? When you begin to focus on other stuff. You know, the moment you begin just to lose that sense of peace, man, let's be quick and say, right, and man, I must be focusing on something that's beginning to get magnified. That's not who God is then. So let's be quick just to keep our peace. Let's just keep reading the word this morning. Verse 7, sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to him and his purposes. For you cannot serve God while your mind is full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest you were being controlled by your desires and not his. However, this is not the case with you. You are not under the control of selfish, sinful desires because you have surrendered your life to God to be under the power and influence of his Spirit who actually lives in you. You would not be a Christian at all if you did not possess the Holy Spirit. But because his Spirit is in you, Christ is in you. Your body may still crave for self-indulgence, yet your spirit has now been brought to life by his Spirit so that in your heart you want to do what is right before God. How many of you got that desire? I wanna do right before God. Well, feed it. Feed that desire. Feed that longing. The more you feed something, the more of a desire you get for it. Let's keep going. Verse 11, this spirit who lives in you is the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. So you got the same power at work in you right now, sitting in this room on Sunday morning. You've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the same power, not a smaller version, not a compromised version, not a secondhand version, not somebody else's version. You have the full manifestation, the full life of the Holy Spirit in you, the same Spirit that went into that grave, into that tomb and breathed life into Jesus and raised him from the dead. You have the same power in you right now this morning. I think part of the problem is we've read that too much and we go, yeah, I know that. Give me another bit of revelation. But God wants us to stand up, rise up and live in the power of the Holy Spirit that is already at work within us. But sometimes we're like, but I want to see more, so why doesn't the Holy Spirit release more out of my life? Well, when God has given us something, he then says, now you release what is there. It's yours. I've given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now put that gift into operation. Use that gift. Release the life that is within you. Cultivate relationship with the Spirit of God that I've given you. Cultivate your relationship with me, but give, release, take hold of what is there. The power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. Verse 12, this means that you no longer are obliged to obey your sinful desires, my brothers. To do that would lead to spiritual death. Now you have God's Spirit in you, enabling you to rule over any lingering sinful desires to indulge your fleshly instincts. What a great way of putting all that lot. So the Spirit enables you to enjoy real life, not death. You see, those who live as God's sons are happy to be led by God's Spirit. What does that mean? It means those who submit themselves, those who want to be under the lordship of the Holy Spirit, are happy to be led by God's Spirit. Don't you just love Jesus? He hasn't withheld anything from us. He's given us the fullness of his life. And he said, look, I can't be in your... Because Jesus came as a man, what he was saying is, I can't be in you myself because I'm with you right now. I've got a physical body. So what I'm going to do is so that you're not just going to be with me, but so I can be in you fully. So everything you've seen me doing, everything you've seen in the way that I live, the way I relate to people, the demonstration of God's kingdom life, of my Father's life on earth, all the stuff that you've seen, because I want to reproduce that through every one of you, I can't put myself physically inside of you. So what needs to happen is I've got to go back up to the Father, but then we're going to send the Holy Spirit to be in you so that then you can reproduce all the same life, all the same stuff that you've seen me do. Then I'm going to be in you, every one of you, so that wherever you are, you have the same life. You can have the same relationship with the Father. You can have the same access. You can have the same intimacy. You can have the same relationship in terms of God's glory or whatever. The same relationship with the Father as I have, but I've got to come into you. And the way I'm going to do that is by my Holy Spirit. And so you're going to have me fully inside you. So therefore, there are no limitations. There is nothing that can stand against you. Jesus was trying to help them to see, look, there's nothing that can stand up against me. There's nothing that can overcome me. And in order for you to have that same life, then I'm going to go to the Father. Then we're going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you can be a walking, living demonstration of the nature and the character of who God is on earth. So you can be a walking, living, breathing demonstration of God's life and love and power on earth. That's who we are. That's what we've got on the inside of us. That's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit is all about. It's to live this explosive, expressive, abundant, overflowing life that the world doesn't even know is here half the time. Because so many Christians they see look bored, they look dead, they look dried up. And they need to come across people that are full of life, full of joy, full of overflowing hope. That's who we are. That's who Christ is in us this morning. That's what the Word of God says. He's dealt with everything of the old, put it to death. And He's given us a new life in Him to live according to that law. The law of the Spirit of life. It's freedom. It's liberty. Let's read a bit more in the Bible, shall we? Verse 26. Similarly, we depend on the help the Holy Spirit gives us because of our weakness. It's a funny thing in the Christian life. Because on one level, you feel totally weak. But yet, you've got everything. So in our natural selves, we can feel weak. But yet, who Christ has made us and who we have on the inside of us, we've got everything. And the Christian life, in one sense, is firstly, it's having a revelation, it's believing, but it's learning to walk and live in the fact that I'm weak as an individual, as a person. I can't fulfill, you know, these things in and of myself. But yet, God knew that, and so He's given me His Holy Spirit to then enable me to live in everything that He wants me to live in and see. And so it's learning to walk, not dependent on ourselves and how we feel and all of that kind of stuff, but learning to depend on the Holy Spirit. And say, God, well, I feel weak. I don't really feel like I'm there this morning or today or in this situation or whatever. But yet, I think we need to say that a lot in our lives every day. I feel weak. I'm not really sure. But yet, this is who God is in me. So I'm going to choose to stand up in who I am in God today, in my thinking, in my actions, in the way I speak. In God wanted me to reach out to something happening in somebody else's life. And it says here, we are so weak in ourselves that we do not even know how to pray. How many would agree with that one? Sometimes like, God, what do you pray? I don't know what to pray. Yet, it says here, the Holy Spirit Himself prays in us and for us, sometimes with such intensity that we find ourselves groaning. Wow. No words can express the depth of what He is working in us. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, how many of you, sometimes you don't feel like praying? Okay, there's five honest people in the room. How many of you just don't like, sometimes you just feel, oh, I just don't, you know, what, you know, you just don't feel like it. And but how many of you know that when you begin to pray, you begin to worship, you begin to pray in tongues, there's this kind of resistance, a bit with the flesh and all of that. But how many of you know that after a few minutes, you're like, this is good. Yeah. You suddenly begin to feel built up and you feel be encouraged. And then your mind goes, why didn't I do this an hour ago? Instead of dealing with all this rubbish that's been going on in my head and I'm feeling like cheesed off and condemned, which is the enemy, isn't it? Why don't I just get on with it? It's weird, isn't it, how we live? Because sometimes we just live with, oh, I don't know if I'm really... And it's the enemy saying, no, you're not good enough. No, you're not worthy. No, you're a wally or whatever. And sometimes you just need, oh, I'm just going to pray in tongues. I'm just going to build myself up. I'm just going to say, you're great, God, you're brilliant. And what you have to do is you're saying, no, the Spirit is going to be on the throne. He's going to be Lord today. Not my thinking or my emotions or my feelings or this circumstance or this situation. And so it's just saying, no, actually, I'm going to choose right now to step into the Spirit. Now, that's a decision, not a feeling. Because often we try and feel our way into the presence of God. We try and feel our way into the Spirit of God. And it's by faith that we come. So in our weakness and in our, I don't feel anything and all that, just, right, I'm going to step into the Spirit now and I'm just going to begin to operate in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in tongues here. I'm going to begin to worship. I'm going to begin to tell God who he is. Whether my feelings are miles behind, you know, back there, or whether you feel it doesn't, you know, I'm just going to step into this and I'm going to build myself up. I'm going to focus. I'm going to magnify God for a few minutes and get and deal with this negativity, deal with this unworthiness, deal with this rubbish, deal with this I'm nowhere, or the, you know, and just rise up, begin to stand up in your spirit. Just begin to, if you don't do that kind of stuff every day, if you don't do that kind of stuff when you're at work and when you're out and about, you won't feel like you, because so much of the time we live on our feelings or an atmosphere. And when you're out and about, if you haven't been edifying yourself, building yourself up, and just choosing to do some of the things that at first might become a discipline, but you discipline yourself and it turns into a desire. Once desire's begun to get hold of you, then you I want to do this. I want to cultivate. And then you get some momentum going and things really begin to build in there because you've got a spiritual momentum going now in your life. And you know, when we're in the situations of life and stuff comes our way, or there's a pressure, or maybe at work somebody, you know, you think, oh, I could pray for them, but I don't feel like anything's going to happen, all of that. You know, if you're building yourself up in your spirit, you're cultivating this kind of dynamic of life, then when things come and happen at work or in situations, you're much more like, hey, I'm going to pray for him. There's a boldness there. There's a confidence there. It might not be a shouting boldness or an overwhelming confidence. There's just something on the inside that says, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to go and talk to her. Actually, yeah, this is what I need to do now. And there's just something going on in there. And this is what the work of the Spirit is about in us. Then verse 27, God searches our hearts and he certainly knows what he causes his Spirit to pray for us as his saints. The people he has set apart for himself. His Spirit will always pray in and through us according to his will. So we want to give time. Cultivate the life of the Spirit in you. Cultivate the life of the Spirit. Not just in meetings or in prayer times, you know, on your own. Cultivate. Spend some time praying in tongues. This morning when I was praying, I don't know what time it was, but for about 20, 25 minutes, all I was doing was walking up and down my lounge at home, just praying in tongues, and just, you know, partly for the meeting today and everything, but I was just praying in the Spirit. And while you're doing that, you know, you're building yourself up. You're just getting into the flow of what God wants to do that day or whatever. And you're just saying everything else you're going to submit right now to the Spirit of God in me. The fact that I felt tired or I could do with another hour's kip, or, you know, I wanted to go and have something to eat. It's like, no, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to put that aside from it. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit and just concentrate and focus on who God is. Stir up, you know, how do you want to do stuff this morning? What do you want to say? And all of that kind of thing. And you're just lining up. You're dealing with some of the rubbish that goes on in your head, and you're just bringing it under. Submission. You see, if you don't, you can walk around every day feeling like I'm not quite there, and I'm not really sorted, and God's not totally happy with me, and you lost your peace. Best way to keep your peace is just to keep in the Spirit. How do you do that? I'd say the first thing you do every morning, get up and pray in tongues for a bit and worship for a bit. Read a bit of the Word. Encourage yourself. Build yourself up. You know, so that you're starting the day lining yourself up with the Spirit of God, submitting your thinking, the circumstances, because we want to live a life full and flowing in the Holy Spirit. Then it says here, just to finish before we pray, I've read more than I thought I was going to read. Anyway, that's cool. Let me just read one other thing. When he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. No, you receive the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. For if we know that we are his children, then we know also that we are his heirs. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all his blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to him, but this is only so that we will also share eternally in his glory. When something's happening on the inside of you, you don't mind facing the cost. When there's a desire just building, growing, that you're feeding, you know, in terms of your walk with God and what God wants to do on the inside of you, you don't mind the cost. Because what God's saying, or the why, has really caught hold of you. Why am I praying? I want to, well, not just meet with God, but I also want to pray because I want to see lives change. Why do I want to walk with God? Because there's things God wants to do through my life. Why do I want to get involved in the life of the church? Because there's other people that God wants to reach and transform. And when you understand the why, it so overcomes the what. And should I or could I or whatever. Because you've suddenly, God's got hold of your heart in a fresh way. And it's like, come on. And these guys in Acts chapter 2 and 4, particularly chapter 4 there, they'd seen some great things. Thousands getting saved. Miracles taking place. They were sharing life together. Incredible things that were going on then. And but yet they were like, God, there's more. There's more. There's more. I want a greater boldness. Stretch out your arm to heal and perform. Do miraculous signs and wonders. God, you know, they understood as we give, then we're going to receive. As we release, then God will take care of everything else. I haven't got to try and get my needs met in then order to then go and do something. As I give and as I release, as we stretch out, as we say, God, give us greater boldness. You'll take care of us. You'll look after us. You'll protect us. You'll supply whatever he needs to do. But they did understand that in the giving, they will receive. Just a kingdom principle, isn't it? Which is so back to front than the way the world is. So sometimes, you know, we can say, well, you know, we're reaching the world so much. What about the life of the body? I'll tell you, the more we reach the body, the world, the stronger the life of the church and the body becomes. We're going to pray. Is that right? Let's stand together, shall we? And the first thing we're going to do as a church is we're going to sow into the students, okay? And so if we could have all the students at the front, okay, along just down the front as quick as you can. And we're going to pray for these guys first of all, okay, that they have a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? Because as a church, we want to send them into this nation, into the other nations that some of them are going to, so that they see some phenomenal stuff. If you can turn around and face everybody, that'd be great. And just kind of just come along, just go along to your left a little bit, shuffle to the left. Bit of rhythm there. It's brilliant. Don't they look like a great army of people that are going to be going out doing all kinds of stuff? You can move a little bit more forward if you want, towards everybody. That's it. Cool. Excellent. Now, we're going to pray for these guys that they get baptized in the Holy Spirit afresh this morning, okay? Because we want to send them out in the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys, you're going to get a boldness that comes upon you. You're going to preach the gospel, not just share it, but you're going to find you're going to preach the gospel in different situations in these coming weeks. And as you preach the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be released as you preach the gospel. And people are going to come under conviction. People are going to, something's going to happen while you're preaching the gospel. Now, you might feel weak in your own strength. You might not feel mighty in God in that sense. Sometimes we've got to be careful that we don't say, in order to really know God, you've got to feel mighty. You've got to feel like you're going to change the world. Well, sometimes when you're doing stuff, you don't feel like the world's getting changed. But you've got to understand that as you preach the word, the power of the Holy Spirit is getting released to do things. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Sometimes you're going to be in situations where you can't lay hands on the sick. So if you're in a public situation, especially with anybody under 18 or vulnerable people, don't lay hands on them in a public place and all of that kind of thing, okay? You just need to speak the word. Sometimes with a word, Jesus spoke and they were healed, okay? There's so much stuff out there these days. We need to be wise in the way we do things, okay? And, you know, don't give any ammo for anybody or the enemy to, you know, come back and try and, oh, this person did this and you did that. And it's like sometimes, especially for me with unsaved people, I don't lay my hands on them. It's just, well, God, you can lay your hand on them directly. So I just keep my hands off and just command them to be healed. And God does it. And then there's not even a thinking of he touched me or she touched me or they put their hand on me. They don't even think of that because they don't know people do that. So have some wisdom as well with what's going to go on. But you're going to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to be preaching in churches. You're going to be leading prayer meetings. You're going to be doing all that. You know, you're going to get dropped in it. It's going to be brilliant. That's the best way to grow. So let's, all of you guys, just raise your hands in the air now. All of you down the front here. Thank you, Jesus. Let everybody else just raise your hands towards these guys right now. Actually, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Just, students, quickly go down the aisles, the side aisles and the centre one. Just quickly get yourself somewhere, position yourself somewhere, quick as possible. Just get in a line. Some of you stay at the front and just get into the aisle somewhere. And if you're on the end of a row or somewhere, just grab hold of one of these students, okay? Just come out the rows, people in the church here. Stand in front of, at least have at least one person in front of them, okay? Some of the leaders and other guys down the front here, you can pray for these guys. Okay, this is deck a student moment, okay? So what we're going to do, we're all going to pray, but if you are the person praying for them, I want you to put your hand on their head, not on their shoulder, their head, okay? They might have gel or hairspray, all sorts of gunk in their hair. Don't worry about that. Just put your hand on them. Okay, and what we're going to do, we're all going to pray together, okay? And God's going to baptize them afresh in the Holy Spirit, okay? So just lay your hand on their head. One at somebody in the group there, just lay your hands on their head. Father, we thank you. Students, just raise your hands in the air. You're going to receive from God in a fresh way this morning. Father, I thank you right now for the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you come upon every one of these men and women right now with your power in a fresh way. Father, I thank you for this commissioning and this releasing this morning, that they go with a fresh boldness. They go with a confidence in you. Father, I thank you. They're going to preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit's going to work and move in people's lives, bringing them to salvation. Father, I thank you for the anointing to lay hands on the sick so they recover and see miracles and healings in these next few weeks. Father, we thank you for the anointing on them to teach the word in different situations. Father, I thank you for words of knowledge. Father, I thank you for the spirit of discernment. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom being released. Father, I thank you for that prophetic anointing on them to give words into people's lives in these coming weeks. Father, I thank you for an activation in these next 5 weeks beyond what any of them have seen before. Father, I thank you that they go out in your name, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for a boldness and a confidence in you. I thank you you're going to drop them in it and put them in situations when they're going to have to trust you. We praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit afresh right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. If you've got a word of encouragement, then just share that with them now. If you want to encourage them in any way, not necessarily you're going to go to Timbuktu for the rest of your life, not that kind of stuff. I just give them a word of encouragement if you've got anything. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I think these guys are going to be a blessing in every church that they go to. To every person they're going to meet and come across. Thank you for your favor that's going to open up doors of opportunity and possibilities that you move in and you work in. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. You're going to put them in the right place at the right time to do the right thing that you want to do in people's lives. Thank you. You've set up all kinds of appointments all over the nation, other nations, with people that don't know you, people that do know you, as they go in your name. We thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. As a church, guys, we just want to say that we love you, we appreciate you, and the way you've just given and sown into the life of the church while you've been here. I know some of you are coming back a second years and third years and different ways, and they're still going to carry on being involved. But we just want to thank you and say what a great attitude and heart that you have and you've brought into the life of the church here while you've been here. Let's really thank these guys, appreciate them, and love them. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now you ready yourself now for a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit? Now, what's the evidence of what God is going to do now? It's not a feeling. It's not goosebumps or anything like that. It's not whether you shake or not or fall over or anything like that. The evidence is what happens when you go from here. We're not looking for a building to shake and all of that sort of thing as evidence of, well, did we have an Acts 2 or Acts 4 thing? Our faith isn't in those things. Our faith now is in God. I thank you right now for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit this morning, because your word says that the believers there that we looked at, they wanted a greater boldness. They wanted to see you do more. They weren't satisfied. And I think they were seeing maybe a little bit more than we're seeing at this moment in terms of thousands getting saved and the amount of miracles. But yet we've already heard, we've seen loads of people saved, responded, you know, hundreds of healings, and some of those were miracles in the last year. So we're seeing some of that. We're living in that. So it's not about, you know, well, when I feel like I'm hovering just off the ground. And when we kind of, this atmosphere that I think, it, you know, will be it, you know, or whatever, then I'll know you're living in it already. But at the same time, we know, God, there's more than we've seen. There's more than we've known. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, God, a greater boldness. Stretch out your arm to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through me, through all of us. You know, so let's all raise our hands this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Just begin to ask the Holy Spirit right now. God, I want a greater boldness to declare who you are, to preach the gospel, to live a life that is loud in terms of your kingdom life and the life that you've given me. God, I want a greater boldness. Stretch out your arm to heal and perform and do miraculous signs and wonders through me, through us as a people. God, give me a greater boldness. Baptize me afresh this morning with your Holy Spirit. I'm not satisfied with what I'm seeing. I have a hunger to see you do more through in me and through me. Father, I thank you right now for the fresh release of your Spirit into every person's life this morning. Doesn't matter how old we are, however long we've been saved. Father, I thank you for a fresh release this morning. Boldness, confidence, fresh release of faith, for healings and miracles, to see an increase of you at work in us and through us. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of discernment, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, prophetic words. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your Spirit today amongst us and through us as a people. Father, we praise your awesome holy name. Father, I thank you as we cultivate your presence, as we cultivate relationship with you, there'll be a continual increase of what you're doing in us and amongst us and through us. Father, we praise your name that this is a day of salvation. This is a day of miracles and healings. Father, I thank you that we're living in that day already. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, some of you this morning, you might not know Jesus. You might have a relationship with him. And you're like, well, I don't know God in the way that you've been speaking about today, or the life and what that I see and sense and feel in this building with all the people. Well, you can begin a relationship with Jesus today. You can come into that same relationship with him that many people in this room have. And you heard Phil's story earlier on when he was saying how, you know, God took him out of the stuff that he was in. And maybe some of his life he thought was all right, but there were other parts of his life that he just knew, man, I want to get rid of, shot of. And just the fact that he could be forgiven and come into a relationship with Jesus, his life has turned around, and he's stepped into really the purpose of why he's alive. And the purpose for every person on the planet is actually to know the living God, Jesus Christ, in a personal relationship. He is the creator, and every person on the planet has been created to know him. There are many other small g gods that people talk about, but there's only one God, capital G. And that's the living God, Jesus Christ. He is the one true living God. And Jesus said himself, when he was on earth, he said that there is only one way to the Father. There's only one way to know God. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through me, through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Father except through me. And God wants you to step into your destiny and into your purpose today, and to come to know your Creator and to have a relationship with Him. And He did an awesome thing 2,000 years ago that dealt with the separation that man had with God. And that separation was called sin, and it separated every person from God. But Jesus came as the Son of God, lived on the earth, and He went to the cross for one reason, and that was to take the sin of mankind, to break the power of that sin over mankind and defeat the devil and overcome the power of the devil that he has on people's lives when they don't know Him. They don't know God. And Jesus came to break the power of that, deal with the effects of sin in people's lives, so that any person on the planet, doesn't matter who they are, can come to God and say, God, I thank you for what Jesus has done for me. I want to take hold of that. I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleaned up. I want a new start. As Phil talked about, I want to be born again. It's literally like you start a completely new life. That's what being born again is. It's not all weird born again Christians. It's having a completely new start in your life. And then God wants to baptize you, give you the power of His Holy Spirit to then live in relationship with Him. It's an awesome, awesome thing that God has done for every person. Nobody's beyond God's reach. Doesn't matter what you might have done or what you think you've done. Nobody is beyond God's reach. And so this morning, your heart might be beating, stuff might be going on the inside of you right now. But if you know, I want to respond to Jesus this morning, I want you to be really bold. If you can just, because we're going to pray together for a few minutes, I just want you to raise one of your hands so I can see where you are. We're just going to pray together. And this morning, if you're like, yeah, I want to respond and take a step towards Jesus this morning. So if there's anybody here, if you can just raise your hand. Somebody at the back there. Great. Is anybody else? You just want to say, I want to respond. Can you pray with me this morning? There's others here this morning. Your heart's beating. There's things going on inside you. Just, I want to respond. And it's not to embarrass you, but just to see where you are and we can pray together. Thank you. Just to take a moment, wherever you are right now, we're just going to pray together. Let's everybody pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your incredible life. I thank you that you laid it down for me. And you went to the cross for me. I thank you that you took every sin with you that I've ever committed. And I ask you to forgive me this morning. I thank you that you wiped the slate clean today. And Jesus, I give you my life. And I ask you to give me yours. I want to live in relationship with you for the rest of my days. I thank you that you come and make your home in me today. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.